1972, just before Ruth and I were married, I learned that a family member, someone in her family, had just come out. He had just declared that he is a homosexual, and there was no turning back. This after he was baptized, raised in the church by godly parents, and had been involved in studies at a Bible college. For the first time, as a young man who barely knew the word homosexual, had no idea why they would ever call that gay, and usually attributed the word fag or faggot or something of that nature to that particular way of living, I was dumbfounded to realize that I would now be related through marriage to someone who is a homosexual. My initial sense of revulsion and wonderment of how to relate to him continued on for a long time. Back in the early 70s, this was not a topic that anyone had ever preached about or talked about. I hardly understood anything about what Genesis meant regarding the fellows that banged on Lot's door and wanted to have some kind of relationships with people inside or with him on the outside. You know the story. I knew very little of what Romans 1 meant with regard to men doing things with men and all of that. And it wasn't until 1994, while attending here for about a year, that we began to have conversations with some families or some individuals who had suffered sexual abuse. And I saw no connection between that and homosexuality initially until, in fact, our church here hosted John and Penny Freeman for a seminar that related more to victims of childhood sexual abuse, adult victims, than anything about homosexuality. But at that time, Ruth and I came to know John and Penny Freeman and realized that the conversation that we had needed to have for a long time with regard to a family member declared gay was something that we could now have openly. And, in fact, someone was doing something about the issues within the church and among Christians related to homosexuality and pornography and all. The only ones we knew that even cared about it were John and Penny Freeman and the ministry that God had given them years before, Harvest USA. Since that time, we have been active supporters and very appreciative of the ministry that God has given this organization, and have read with rapt interest all that they have produced by way of newsletters and regular mailings to donors and so forth. The ministry was established by 10th Presbyterian in Philadelphia. Now that we have a daughter attending there, it's even a closer to home ministry. We're so glad that John has been here. I was telling John that when I was growing up in Des Moines, Iowa, my parents must have been avid and very verbal Republicans, because as an 8-year-old boy during the Nixon Lodge versus Kennedy-Johnson election campaign, I somehow took sides. And I was very much a Nixon Lodge supporter as an 8-year-old boy. I remember in the summer of 1960 finding a little can, a pint-sized can of black paint in somebody's trash. Those were the days when kids could actually walk in alleys and find trash strewn around. Never now, of course. And I picked up the can, opened it up, and noticed there was enough paint in there. I found a little stick, and I'll never forget inscribing on the front sidewalk, right in the public right away in front of our front door, 20 feet away, Nixon plus Lodge. Nobody ever chided me for putting such on the sidewalk. I mean, after all, we were Republicans. in central Iowa. A far more important inscription on a sidewalk has come to my attention in the last few years. In an old brownstone, a large building of a similar color in Philadelphia on Spruce Street, there is now a faded inscription stenciled in with the word mercy right on the front sidewalk. When I heard that that was the inscription that someone anonymously placed on the front sidewalk near the brownstone where Harvest USA has its ministry, I, of course, remembered my Nixon and Lodge inscription, but now understood all so much better what the ministry of Harvest USA conveys to those who have experienced it in one way or another. You, in fact, can see the picture of that if you pick up one of these newsletters that John Freeman has out on the table. He says the inscription, Mercy, stenciled on that sidewalk, which is pictured here, is nearly faded now, but someone anonymously put it there, having known something of what Harvest USA has conveyed through the ministry that John and Penny and many others have had in Philadelphia for decades now. I'm struck by the fact that we are here today talking about things that no one ever talked about a long time ago, and yet they're so, so much more predominant and important for us to be aware of. I'm very thankful for John, and I know that you will appreciate his conversation with you this morning. I hope you all have an outline in front of you as well. In a recent letter that John sends out to supporters, he wrote, "Most attempts to deal with our sin seems, by nature, to appeal to our need to do something. We need to implement this and that, to cut off our access to what's getting us in trouble, or to make ourselves accountable to someone, things like that. All this is a part of laboring to overcome our sin." And then he writes what I think is so tender and needful and precious. "While all this may be good, it will never do the trick. It will never take you where you need to go. It's only a step in the process of something much larger, much grander that is happening. Christ must become to us more than our other idols." The sensitivity with which John and Penny and many others have been ministering to people who are, by their mission statement, proclaiming Christ as Lord to a sexually broken world, equipping the church to minister to sexually broken people, will be something that you'll hear in his talk. And let me encourage you, men, stop by the table. Sign up to get this newsletter. Helping a sexual struggler open up and talk, making your friendship and your church a safe place for honest revelations. What does walking in the light of freedom from pornography and sexual addictions look like? Interesting? Very helpful, not only perhaps for you, but for someone else. Or Dan Allender's article on this newsletter, entitled Lust, Facing the Wreckage, Hope for Parents of Gay Teens, and on. I encourage you to get on the mailing list and receive this on a regular basis. John Freeman, thank you so much. We look forward to your talking today.